Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've got a really specific mission today set by one of our listeners. We're diving deep into that fundamental choice for home buyers, FHA versus conventional loans. But crucially, we're looking at it through the lens of a very specific, very competitive market, the Bronx, New York City. And look, this isn't just abstract finance talk, the loan you pick. It's like the first big lever you pull. It affects whether sellers even look at your offer, whether you can buy the type of place you want, and frankly, how much cash you'll be spending over, you know, the next 30 years. So our goal is simple, get you up to speed fast on what matters most.
That's exactly right. Because in a place like the Bronx, choosing between FHA and conventional isn't just like filling out different forms. It really dictates how competitive you can be. You're basically deciding what's more important right now. Is it getting in the door, maybe with a bit less hassle up front? That's kind of the FHA route. Or are you aiming for being more competitive in bidding wars, having more property options, and saving money long term? That's where conventional shines.
Right, that's the core tension. Okay, let's unpack this, starting with why the Bronx makes this choice so, so critical right now. You know, when people think NYC housing, the Bronx often pops up as, well, a strategic spot. Generally, the price points are a bit lower than, say, Manhattan or Brooklyn, so it feels more accessible. Plus, you've got good commuter access, steady appreciation, but it's a real mix of properties. You've got single-family homes, condos, sure, but also a ton of co-ops, cooperative apartments.
And that mix, affordability, speed, plus the property diversity. That's precisely why you have to nail the financing choice from day one. It's make or break, really. We've sort of boiled it to three key things for Bronx buyers. First, approval speed. Sellers want fast closings, period. Second, the property type. Co-ops are huge there, and that immediately rules out certain loans. And third, the long-term cost, mainly how that mortgage insurance works. You know, it impacts your monthly payment for years. What's fascinating here is how often a buyer gets sort of dinged by the market just because they picked a loan type that's perceived as slower or more complex. If your loan needs extra hoops to jump through, extra appraisal steps maybe, even if your offer price is fine, the seller might just skip you, go for the conventional buyer who seems like a sure thing, a faster close. Time really is money, and in the Bronx market, time is also about being competitive.
Okay, so let's walk down that accessibility path first. FHA loans. These are the ones backed by the Federal Housing Administration, right? Designed to help folks who might not meet the super strict criteria for other loans.
It's exactly. Accessibility is the name of the game. If you've got decent income, but maybe a shorter credit history, or your score isn't quite top tier, FHA can be a lifeline. Lenders have their own specifics, of course, but FHA guidelines often allow scores starting around, say, 580, and they're usually a bit more flexible on your debt-to-income ratio, your DTI. Often around 43% is workable.
Wow, 580, that's pretty flexible for buying a home. But okay, question. If FHA is taking on more risk, does that mean the interest rate is usually higher than conventional for the same person?
Yeah, that's a good question. Generally, yes. That flexibility isn't, you know, free. The rate will probably be a bit higher than what someone with like a 740 score could get conventionally. But here's a big plus for FHA buyers up front. Seller concessions. FHA allows the seller to contribute up to 6% of the purchase price towards your closing costs. That can be a serious chunk of change. Thousands of dollars helping you cover those initial fees. It's a real help getting over that first hurdle.
Okay, that 6% could be huge. But like you said, flexibility isn't free. There've got to be some gotchas, right? And I'm guessing the big one is the insurance cost, that MIP thing.
Bingo! The mortgage insurance premium, or MIP. That's the main long-term financial drag with FHA. You pay it two ways. An upfront fee, often rolled into the loan, and a monthly premium. And here's the kicker. Unlike the insurance on conventional loans, FHA MIP often sticks around for the entire life of the loan, especially if your down payment was less than 10%. Think about that. Paying extra insurance every month for potentially 30 years, even after you've built up a lot of equity, it adds up significantly over time.
30 years of extra payments.
Ouch! And it's not just the money, right? You mentioned property requirements impacting the Bronx specifically. Yes, that's the other critical piece. FHA loans have stricter standards for the property's condition, health and safety stuff. So an FHA appraiser has to look for things like, I don't know, missing handrails, peeling paint, well, essentially lead-based paint in older buildings, maybe exposed wiring. Minor things that a conventional appraisal might overlook unless they affect the structure. But honestly, the biggest property hurdle in the Bronx isn't usually a chipped railing. It's the co-op restriction. FHA financing is generally not available for co-op purchases. And since co-ops make up such a massive, often more affordable slice of the market there, FHA effectively locks you out of a huge chunk of potential homes right off the bat.
Okay, so FHA, accessible, lower credit, okay, but potentially higher long-term costs due to MIP, and crucially, big limits on property types, especially co-ops. Let's pivot then. Conventional loans. The path for maybe optimization. These aren't government-backed, right? They follow rules set by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
That's right, not government insured. So lenders rely more on the borrower's financial strength. You generally need a higher credit score. The absolute minimum is 620, but really you want to be higher, well into the 700s ideally, to get the best rates. The whole qualification process feels stricter, but the payoff could be huge, especially again with the insurance. If you put down less than 20%, you'll likely pay private mortgage insurance, PMI. But, and this is the key difference, PMI doesn't have to last forever. By law, it must be canceled automatically once your loan balance drops to 78% of the original home value.
Yeah.
And you can usually request cancellation once you hit 20% equity.
Okay, that's the game changer. That cancellation. So if you buy in the Bronx, the market goes up, you pay down your loan,
Yeah.
you could potentially ditch that monthly PMI payment in, what, 5, 7 years maybe?
Exactly. And that makes a massive difference to your lifetime cost.
Oh.
Let's use a rough example. Say on a $400,000 loan, maybe your PMI is $250 a month. If you pay that $250 for 30 years, like FHA MIP, that's $20,000. If you only pay it for, say, 7 years before it cancels, that's $21,000. Huge difference. So yeah, conventional, by letting that insurance eventually drop off, fundamentally lowers your total cost over the decades compared to FHA's often permanent MIP.
And besides the cost savings, you mentioned property flexibility. This ties back to the co-op issue in the Bronx.
Absolutely critical. Conventional loans are much more widely accepted for both condos and, crucially, co-ops. Why? Well, conventional lenders are generally set up to evaluate the financial health of the co-op building itself, its underlying mortgage, its cash reserves, how it's run. It's a different kind of risk assessment. Since FHA isn't insuring the building's finances, just your loan, they tend to just avoid the complexity of co-ops altogether.
Yeah.
So if you want a co-op in the Bronx, conventional is almost certainly your path.
Okay, let's nail this down. Here's where it gets really interesting, comparing the hard numbers side by side. Because every buyer in the Bronx needs this clear minimum credit, FHA, flexible, maybe starts around 580, conventional, hard floor at 620, better rates higher up, insurance. FHA has that MIP, often for life, adding cost. Conventional has PMI, but huge, but it can be canceled, saving money long term.
And it's worth noting, for most homes, the maximum loan amount is the same. The conforming loan limit for the Bronx in 2025 is $11,149,825 for both FHA and conventional. So loan size isn't usually the deciding factor unless you're buying something really high-end.
Right. But let's zoom back in on that property type restriction, because this feels like the defining difference for this specific market. You said co-ops are often the affordable entry point in the Bronx, right? What
Right.
kind of price range are we talking?
Yeah, for first-time buyers, that sweet spot, the good value co-ops, might typically range from, say, roughly $300,000 up to maybe $500,000. It varies, of course, but that's a common entry-level range.
Okay, 3 to 500,000. That is the affordable zone for many.
It really is. And because FHA generally says no to co-ops, conventional financing becomes almost essential if you're targeting that whole segment of the market. Seriously, if you walk into a broker's office in Mott Haven or somewhere and say, "I've got FHA pre-approval, show me co-ops," they'll likely, very politely, have to tell you it's probably not going to work. FHA just locks that door.
Yeah, that alone basically forces your hand if co-ops are on your radar. Okay, let's circle back to speed. We talked about market competitiveness. Why is conventional usually faster to close?
It mostly boils down to those property checks again. Because FHA is insuring the loan, they mandate more specific checks on the property's condition. The health and safety stuff we mentioned. Finding peeling paint, making sure there are handrails everywhere. These can trigger required repairs before closing, adding steps, adding time, sometimes weeks. Sellers, especially those juggling multiple offers, know this. They see conventional and think. Simpler appraisal, likely fewer hurdles, faster path to the closing table. We hear it from agents constantly. Sellers sometimes flat out say conventional offers preferred, or even no FHA. It's just about minimizing hassle and delay for them.
Okay, this is starting to crystallize. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the ultimate decision is really about lining your financing up with the type of property you want and how much you care about long-term costs versus upfront ease.
Precisely. It's aligning your financial profile and goals with the realities of the market and the specific property.
So let's make it super actionable. Give us the quick cheat sheet. When should someone listening lean towards FHA despite the limits?
Okay, choose FHA if
Yeah.
your credit score is on the lower side, maybe between 580 and, say, 620, or you just don't have a long credit history yet. Also, pick FHA if you know for sure you're buying a single-family home or a condo that's already FHA approved. And maybe if you're planning strategically to refinance into a conventional loan later, once your credit's better and you have more equity, FHA gets your foot in the door now.
Makes sense. And when is conventional the clear strategic winner, even if it's tougher upfront?
Go conventional if you have a credit score of 620 or higher, and ideally better. Definitely choose conventional if you want that mortgage insurance payment, the PMI, to eventually disappear, saving you money long term. And absolutely must choose conventional if you're targeting a co-op or maybe a condo that isn't FHA approved. That's non-negotiable in the Bronx market. Basically, conventional gives you the edge in competitiveness, opens up more property options, and leads to lower lifetime costs.
Right. And either way, you need your documents ready for pre-approval, yeah. ID, pay stubs, W-2s, or 1099s if you're self-employed, tax returns, bank statements, the usual suspects.
Yep, the standard stuff. But even here, there's a potential speed difference. While conventional demands a stronger profile, the pre-approval process itself often moves quicker than FHA pre-approval. So the conventional buyer might get their official okay to make offers letter faster, giving them another slight edge right from the start.
Okay, summing it up strategically, FHA is a fantastic tool for access. It lowers the barrier, especially on credit scores. But it comes with that long-term cost burden of MIP and, critically for the Bronx, locks you out of co-ops.
While conventional demands more upfront, better credit, stricter process, but it pays off. You get flexibility, the potential to ditch PMI saves you a ton, and crucially, it opens the door to pretty much any property type in the Bronx, especially those vital co-ops.
So what does this all mean? FHA helps more people get onto the property ladder, which is hugely important. But conventional, it makes you a stronger, faster, more flexible buyer, which is often what wins in a competitive borough like the Bronx. Which brings us to our final thought for you to chew on. We know lots of FHA buyers use it as a stepping stone, planning to refinance later. So if you do go the FHA route, what specific financial habits should you start working on immediately after closing, like day one, to boost your credit score and build equity faster? The goal being, of course, to refinance into a conventional loan as soon as possible, get rid of that MIP, and really optimize your housing costs over the long haul. That forward planning, that's often the difference between just buying a house and making a really smart long-term financial move.